Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, a distinguished lecturer emeritus at York College, City University of New York. I welcome you to this May 18th Pledge Drive edition of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM. That's WBAI, of course, on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with YCRadio.org. It is also Haitian Flag Day, and we'll be talking about Haitian Flag Day later on in the show. It is also the eve of the Kuzaliwa, the birthday of El Haj Malik El Shabazz, which is tomorrow. These are all good things. Well, first of all, before we get into the show itself, I just want to continue to say to everyone out there, be safe. We're making progress in New York. Slow but sure. But the numbers are decisively down, both in terms of infections and those who are being hospitalized and those who are unfortunately still dying. Those numbers are down. And that is in large measure because of the discipline that is being shown by New Yorkers all across the country. I mean, all across the city. I was out the other day. I got a little nervous. I think maybe it was Saturday, maybe. Folks looked like they were a little loose. But then subsequently, people seemed to be back on point. Wear your mask. It's not for just you. It's for those who might be infected by you. Practice that social distancing. Think of others, not just yourself. If we do that in the sense of having a sense of community, then we're going to get through this. It's going to be different. It's going to be difficult. It will be a struggle. But it is a time more than ever before to talk about community and us working together to make sure that we wrestle down and conquer this monster, which is quite devastating. Well, today's show, we're going to focus on Haitian Flag Day, but also a powerful segment coming up on the Tulsa Massacre and the destruction of Black Wall Street. Our premium for the day is consistent with Haitian Flag Day. It is a book, which is entitled We Dare to Be Free, Haiti's Struggle Against Occupation. It is $50, a $50 book. I'm into my third week. And therefore I have the $50 ready to go in order to support that. But also don't forget we have those really functional, aesthetically pleasing, but more importantly, functional mask, keep free speech radio alive mask. And they're $35. And so we're going to continue to push those. We just hope you'll help us out. We hope that you'll be, for those who do have the resources, that you'll be able to, who still have some income and who have and can able to do so, will help support WBAI. We need it right now. We know that there are many, 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 many people who can't, but there are also many, many, many people who still can. And so we really want you to support WBAI. We're going to be coming back in the latter part of the show, pushing very hard to try to get a really, really solid number of contributions today. Both for that book, again, it is entitled We Dare to Be Free, Haiti's Struggle Against Occupation. Everybody knows that I love Haiti and the work I've done with Haiti through the Haiti Support Project over these many, many years. And so Haiti is near and dear to my heart. And today, Haitian Flag Day, we want to talk about that a bit, but also push you. Now, I really shouldn't have to push you. Encourage you to support WBAI by getting this premium. And also, let's get those masks. And you can become a WBAI buddy. And people have been calling in to proclaim that they're WBAI buddies. And that's a good thing. A WBAI buddy is a person who signs up for at least $10 a month, $120 a year, to be a sustaining contributor. And we need a lot of sustaining contributors in this era, this pandemic era. Because WBAI is this fortress of resistance and transformation urgently needed. Not only to get the information out about how we survive, but how we rise up really to take advantage of this moment, to seize the moment to bring about some significant changes. So now I'd like to go to our first guest that I'm honored to have on with us today. It is Dr. Tiffany Crutcher, and she is co-founder of the Terrence Crutcher Foundation in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Dr. Tiffany Crutcher, welcome to Vantage Point.
Thank you so much, Dr. Daniels. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. Well,
thank you.
It's been really my pleasure to meet you virtually as we are planning for a big event, which we'll ask you about a little bit later, a major event on May 31st, which we'll be talking about. And it's really been great. That's why I wanted to have you on our show, because I wanted people to know about the work that you are doing, really representing a tremendous coalition of folk on the ground there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. First of all, what I'd like to just begin with is a little bit of background, because I find that you are so extraordinarily active and engaged, and you're doing many, many things. And so I wish you'd just give us a little bit of your background. Are you a native of Tulsa? If not, you know, where were you born? And give us a little bit about your background and those things that have influenced you to become an activist.
Absolutely. Well, first, Dr. Daniels, let me just say it is a complete honor to be on this show with you. Just all that you've done over the years. I'm a bit nervous, but it's just an honor to be working alongside you with the project that we have coming up on May 31st. So thank you for having me. Of course, again, I'm Dr. Tiffany Kretcher, native of Tulsa, Oklahoma, born and bred. Grew up in North Tulsa, the black community, and went to school in the historic Greenwood District, you know, elementary, junior high, and the famous Booker T. Washington High School in Tulsa. They now call it Tulsa, Washington because of gentrification. But for us, it's still Booker T. Washington. I graduated, went off to college, Langston University, Alabama State University. I did some schooling at the University of Oklahoma. Got a clinical doctorate and moved to Montgomery, Alabama, because one of my life's mission was to go to a rural underserved area, the Black Belt community throughout Alabama, and, you know, fight health disparities. You know, that was my passion, healthcare. And so I moved there, been there 15 years officially. But back in 2016, I was thrust into another form of social justice when my twin brother, Terrence Crutcher, was shot and killed unarmed with his hands in the air by a then police officer by the name of Betty Jo Shelby. It totally rocked my world. We're twins, 3 minutes apart. Dr. Daniels, we had just celebrated our 40th birthday. Hmm. I got a call, was eating dinner on a Friday night, that Terrence was gone. And I just went into fight mode and decided to transition out of healthcare and become a full-time social justice activist. We fast forward, Betty Shelby was indicted on manslaughter charges, first-degree manslaughter, for the first time in the history of Tulsa, Oklahoma. A police officer was indicted. We went through a rigorous, painful, traumatic criminal trial. She was acquitted on all charges. We decided to keep fighting.
Right.
So I started the Terrence Crutcher Foundation with the mission of pushing for comprehensive police reform, not just locally here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but across the entire nation, because we see these things happening over and over and over again. And I can say this, it's been exhausting.
Right.
I've been re-triggered over the last few weeks, you know, with the killing of Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and so many more. And whenever we feel like we're at the precipice of some type of policy change, man, they move the goalposts.
Right.
So that's just a little bit about my background.
Well, good. I'm glad you gave that. You anticipated the question I was going to ask you about the police killing of your brother. So it's fair to say that you were really in the medical field previously, and am I reading it correct? You are into physical therapy, is that right?
Yes. I have a clinical doctorate and had a private practice, an outpatient orthopedic clinic in Union Springs, Alabama, which is 35 miles east of Montgomery, Alabama. So I would have been the primary health care provider there, and decided to call it quits.
Right. And to get into this work and we can appreciate why and the way of sort of taking the pain and the trauma and to transferring it and translating it into activism is certainly both healing but also transformative in terms of the work that needs to be done. I want to now go to just some basic information because I never like to take it for granted, particularly with younger listeners and even with some of us who've been around for a while, that we really understand and know what transpired almost 100 years ago. So when we say the Tulsa Massacre, what are we talking about?
Well, the what we call it the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre. Formerly, it was known as the Tulsa Race Riot, but that was by design, too. But almost 100 years ago, this May, it will be 99 years, a mob of white rioters, Klansmen, police officers, encroached one of the wealthiest black communities, the most prominent black communities, the most self-sufficient black communities in our nation. We had our own businesses, our own doctors, our own lawyers, our own airplanes. We didn't have to go outside of our community for anything, cars, airplanes. And we had a lot of white jealous folks. And the rumor sparked where a guy by the name of Dick Rowland attacked a young white girl by the name of Sarah Page in an elevator in downtown Tulsa. She was an elevator girl, and the elevator doors opened. Somebody said they heard a scream. Next thing we know, there's headlines saying, "Nab that Negro." And the rumor spread, and before we knew it, there was 2 days of sheer racial terror violence in 40 square blocks of our beloved Greenwood. You all may know it as Black Wall Street, was burnt to the ground, leveled to the ground. One of the worst terrorist attacks, domestic terror attacks on U.S. soil by its own government. And Tulsa, Oklahoma, the black community, we've never, ever been the same.
And one of the reasons why I asked you about that, because I have always known it as Black Wall Street. And it was only when I began to have the conversations with, you know, Jeff Robertson with the ACLU and all of the wonderful people on the ground there in Tulsa, that the Greenwood District came up. I never realized that before. So I learned, you know, and that's why it's so important to have these conversations, because I learned about the district, but also that the massacre was was destruction there, but the massacre was even broader than that. I understand that people actually came in from other cities from around the state and even around the country for this?
You mean they came from other countries to help
other countries, other states, I'm
other
sorry.
Cities.
People came in. I was reading that people, once the word got out, it was not only the people, the white terrorists from Tulsa itself, but people from around the state, and some people even came from out of state to participate in this tragedy.
Absolutely. It was premeditated. It was premeditated. It was fabricated. And, you know, what's really alarming is that the Tulsa Police Department deputized Klansmen. Deputized young white boys, gave them guns to go across those tracks, those infamous tracks at Archer and Greenwood, to shoot unarmed black men, to loot, to steal, to kill, to burn. And that's what happened. You know, when we talk about Black Wall Street, all people know around the country and around the world are the businesses that were lost. So we tend to memorialize the businesses, but we never think about the community of Greenwood. That was the real community. We never think about the families and the homes and the 10,000 people who were displaced, who had to flee in fear of their life, not because they wanted to leave, but because they were refugees. And so I think it's very important that we not only talk about Greenwood or Black Wall Street in its heyday, but we memorialize and honor and show deference to the lives that were lost. And that's another one of the big projects that I'm working on here currently, Dr. Daniels.
Now, talk to us about the significance of the historical Vernon AME Church.
Absolutely. Well, Vernon is one of the oldest black churches in Tulsa, Oklahoma. was founded by O.W. Gurley, the man who started or founded Black Wall Street. He was the one that enlisted and solicited people to migrate here to Tulsa, Oklahoma, because of the potential for prosperity and wealth. And Oklahoma was supposed to be an all-Black state.
That's right.
And so that's why Black people came from all over. And Oklahoma has more Black townships than any other state. And a lot of people just don't know that. And so Vernon, you know, very prominent church. But what's so significant about Vernon AME, Dr. Daniels, is that it has the only surviving edifice that lasted through this fire. It right. did not burn down. It was preserved. And so for us here today and the current pastor, Dr. Robert Turner, we feel that Vernon AME, the historic Vernon AME, is considered a sacred place, a museum. And so we want for people to know that, but it has the only surviving edifice that outlasted the fire.
Now, talk to me. I'm familiar with, you know, is a veteran of reparations movement. I know that there was an effort, lawyers from around the country, Professor Charles Ogletree, Randall Robinson, any number of and attorneys there locally, you know, really made a major push to get reparations for the survivors. I mean, the actual living survivors of this horrendous terrorist attack that took place. Talk to us about what happened, what transpired, what is the state of that effort? Because like so many of the efforts that we've undertaken, there seems to be a great reluctance on the part of the state and people to really sort of reconcile with the need for reparations. So would you just share with our audience the state of the demand for reparations, for justice in relationship to the this terrorist attack that took place?
Well, as you stated, there was a huge push back in the early, I think it was 90s or 2000s. And, you know, I don't even really have a profound answer. It was just simply white supremacy, that mindset, that narrative of racial difference that says we're not worth anything. We're not owed anything. And so the mayor stopped it from happening. I think at the time it was, I don't know if it was Kathy Taylor or Susan Savage, I can't remember, but they would not sign off on it. A lot of the survivors who are no longer living traveled to Capitol Hill. They spoke before Congress, and we thought we were there, and bam, the rug was pulled right from out under us. And so right now we're going to take another stab at it as we encroach upon the 100-year commemoration or anniversary. The time is now, and we're going to push again. We have just in our midst someone that I'm just very fond of, Mother Lessie Benningfield Randall, one of the last known living survivors. She's 105, and we're hoping that we can do something for her and that she can see some type of an atonement before God, you know, takes her off this earth. But as it looks, she's still kicking strong.
Right. Now, you're also in the middle of a major, major project, the memorial campaign that's being launched. Because there's a major, major effort, and I really think it's so important that we remember this history, because, quite frankly, it's traumatic and it's painful, and there's a way in which sometimes we know about it, but we kind of want to act like it's not there. The pain and trauma across generations is so difficult that a lot of times it's just convenient not to remember. But it is, we have to remember. That is the whole notion, quite frankly, of the Maiafa and the Sankofa. You know, the idea of looking back in order to move forward. And so I know that you've embarked along with your brothers and sisters there on a major campaign, a memorial campaign. Would you talk to us about that campaign and what it entails?
Absolutely. Well, I'll just say this. The campaign that we're launching and pushing is to build a memorial. We've never honored the lives lost, the lives that were dumped into mass graves, dumped in the Arkansas River, left to be forgotten, never memorialized. And we just felt that it was necessary that we do that. We have the Oklahoma City bombing memorial. We have the New York City terrorist attack memorial, but nothing for the lives that were lost. Every time, you know, it's relative to black people, we get the short end of the stick. You know, we're at the bottom of the barrel. There's never a level playing field. And we thought it would be fitting as we encroach the centennial to build the city of Tulsa's first comprehensive memorial dedicated to the lives that were lost. We're partnering with the Equal Justice Initiative out of Montgomery, Alabama. Mr. Brian Stevenson is the executive director there. And we're, you know, doing the soil collections, going to the sites where our ancestors were killed. We're digging up the soil, putting them in jars, and actually holding and hosting small ceremonies, small memorials for each name that EJI has documented. We're erecting historical markers that will tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, nothing watered down so people can know. Because you can't really commemorate and talk about reconciliation, Dr. Daniels, without truth. They're sequential. Right. You can't have one without the other. And so what we want to do and what the governor and the mayor and you know, James Lankford, they want to talk about repair. They want to talk about reconciliation. But they don't want to talk about who did it and why. And so our job as the activists on ground is to make sure that we speak truth to power and that those lives that were lost, that they're honored, that their voices are elevated through the soil. And as a descendant of a survivor, it's my duty, you know, to make sure that I honor my great grandmother, Rebecca Brown Crutcher. And this goes hand in hand. Nothing has changed. The same culture that burned down Black Wall Street, my community, my great-grandmother's community, is the same culture that killed my twin brother, the same policing culture. Nothing has changed, and I'm going to honor him and his legacy as well.
Hmm. And I don't want to turn back to that. I want to come back to that your point you just made in a minute. But as a part of this memorial campaign, you've also – there's an opportunity because you've done this campaign where people across the country can actually – should I say they can support by purchasing or contributing to a brick, right? You're creating a wall. Would you talk to us about that?
Yes. So surrounding the memorial, we're going to build a resilience wall. This wall will symbolize the strength and the resilience of our ancestors, because after the massacre, Dr. Daniels, they rebuilt, or at least some rebuilt, and they rebuilt 4 years later. You know, even overcoming the obstacles of the white folks not selling them building materials or not letting them file insurance claims because it was deemed a riot. And any insurance policy, if a riot took place, you couldn't file that claim. And that's why they did it. It was by design. You know, they didn't want to call it a massacre because there's no statute of limitation. And so that stopped us from getting any form of restitution. And so we had to solicit the help of 50 neighboring black townships, and we came together and we rebuilt, you know, our beloved community. I can't say that we rebuilt bigger and better, because only some of the lucky ones did. A lot of people had to flee and go elsewhere. But I want this wall to symbolize that strength and that resiliency and black excellence. So we're asking people to get a donor brick. You know, $100, put your name, represent Greenwood, because now Greenwood and Black Wall Street, it spans across state lines. You know, Greenwood is everywhere, and we're trying to duplicate what our ancestors did in every city. You know, we need every city to have a Black Wall Street. It's time for us to pull together, and so we want this wall to have names and names of black people. You can get a brick and dedicate it to the lives lost. You know, you can get it in honor of a survivor or someone, you know, a black business, whatever. But that's how we're going to raise this money. We're going to do it for us, by us, and we want for people from all over this country to participate and help us build this memorial.
And people can do that. I want to, because the materials that you have, and I really want our audience to listen carefully, because there is a video, there are a couple of videos that are just so powerful. I mean, they just bring it right to you, and it clarifies exactly what happened, and it shows visually, and there's the voice of our mother that you just mentioned, who is talking mm-hmm. about it. So tell people where the website is, or how people can connect, so they not only can connect to the campaign, but when they connect, they also see the videos and they hear the narratives mm-hmm. and so forth. So please get that information mm-hmm. out. I really want our audience to be able to connect with this.
Absolutely. You can go to blackwallstreetmemorial.com. That's blackwallstreetmemorial.com. You can see videos, pictures of what happened. You'll learn more about our community remembrance project and some of the things we have going on. And you'll get the opportunity to see Mother Randall, who's 105. And she's just simply stating what she saw almost 100 years ago as a six-year-old little girl. And she's stating that we will never forget, and we can't forget. And so that's blackwallstreetmemorial.com. Check us out. You can help us build a memorial, get a donor brick. We're just, you know, honored to do it, honored to build this memorial for us, by us.
And finally, I'll continue to share that information over the next couple of weeks, because I really, really, really want people and people tune into our show, Vantage Point, by the way, all over the country, indeed, all into the Caribbean
wow.
and South America. So
wow.
I'm hoping people will get an opportunity to view this video. And we're also going to post it on the IBW. In fact, it may already be on the IBW website, but I want them to go directly to blackwallstreet.com blackwallstreetmemorial.com. Finally,
sir.
We are working together, and I'm delighted yes. that the National African American Reparations Commission is working with the ACLU, Human Rights Watch, and this incredible coalition of activists and organizers and just incredible people. I can't wait until the social distancing and all this is over so I can
right.
be on the ground to meet you all. But on May 31st, again, what is the significance of May 31st, and what is going to happen on May 31st? What's going to happen?
Well, May 31st is the 99th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre. And so we are excited, again, like you just stated, to be working with NARC and all of those other national partners, Human Rights Watch, ACLU National, ACLU Oklahoma, the historic Vernon AME Church, our District 1 City Councilor, Vanessa Hall Harper, the African Ancestral Society, and, of course, my foundation, the Terrence Crutcher Foundation. We will be hosting our very first virtual reparations conference, you know, making the case for reparations for H.R. 40 and the case for reparations for Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, you know, they're all one and the same. I see that they've been getting some traction out of California with Assembly Bill 3121. Just think if we keep doing this and making this case all around the nation, I believe we're going to get somewhere. But we need for you all to tune in. You'll get a chance to hear from some of the local activists and organizations on ground making the case as we encroach the centennial, and hear from our national partners like you, Dr. Daniels, and NARC and Sheila Jackson Lee, to really state and push that case for H.R. 40, which is what it's all about.
Right. Well, it's going to be powerful, and I will be sharing that information in subsequent shows as we come up on May 31st, the actual day, 99 years ago, and we
yes,
just
sir.
Really need to relive that history and all of its pain, but also the resiliency, the triumph, and indeed, mm-hmm. as you have put it, the fact that we have to do this in memory of our ancestors, and mm-hmm. it's going to really be powerful. Dr. Tiffany Crutcher, thank you so much for joining us on Vantage Point today, and you can rest assured that we'll continue to talk about the memorial, and also we'll be talking about the virtual town hall meeting that will be taking place on May 31st. Thank you so much for being with us on Vantage Point today.
Wow, thank you so much, and thank you for your support, Dr. Daniels. It's been a pleasure. Looking forward
All right.
to seeing you.
Oh yeah, we'll be planning. Yeah, we'll be on the planning calls in a couple of days. thank
yes,
you so
sir.
Much.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
All right, transitioning, I really wanted to get that segment out because I just want people to know. I mean, this is the kind of information you get here on Vantage Point on WBAI. Not that you don't get it elsewhere, but you can be guaranteed. That's one of the things that we try to do, because it's not just about being on the air. It is about the activism. It is about the organizing. It's about the work that we do with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and with the National African American Reparations Commission and all of the kind of collaborative projects that we do with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. You get that here on Vantage Point. Now joining us is a dearly beloved friend and comrade out of Chicago. This is Haitian Flag Day, and I really wanted people to have our audience. We have a large Haitian listenership, but there are many people who may not know about Haitian Flag Day. I'm delighted to be joined by Judge Lionel Jean-Baptiste from Chicago. He's also a member of the National African American Reparations Commission and much more. Judge Baptiste, welcome again to Vantage Point.
Thank you very much, Dr. Daniels. Thank you for having me on Vantage Point. And, you know, as you indicated, we're on the same team, fighting a broad fight from many fronts.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So talk to us about Haitian Flag Day. And by that, I mean, just give us a little of the background. Talk to us about the symbols and the evolution of the Haitian flag, because this is Haitian Flag Day. So share that with our audience, yes, if you could.
Well, everybody, I'm sure, because you teach them all the time, they know that Haiti was engaged in a protracted war for liberation against France from 1791. And that war carried on and had many different phases in its evolution, but it was a war that was guided by the general call of freedom or death. Haitian and enslaved Africans did not want to continue to be enslaved. They went from different leadership, they had different kind of perspectives in terms of approach. Toussaint was very prominent in over a period of time and had negotiated with the French from time to time for the independence of Haiti, but for Haiti to remain a protectorate of France, to continue the relationship. Toussaint was betrayed in June of 1802. He was ambushed and taken to prison by the French. He died April 1803. And that was the 1803, April 1803 was the eve of the May event, that in an assembly in one of the towns, Acaye, that Dessalines had basically come to terms with the reality that there was not going to be any negotiation with the French, that they had to figure out who were the friends and enemies inside of Haiti among the Black Africans, and then they sought to unite with the mulattoes, who themselves had begun to realize that the French really intended to enslave the Africans and the mulattoes, who were sons and daughters of mixed blood. And so in the assembly in Acaye on May 18th, 1803, Dessalines had declared that they were done with the whites. And so as a symbol of moving forward, he tore the white from the French flag of red, white, and blue and united the blue and red. And that was supposed to have represented the symbolism of the unity of the Black Africans and the mulattoes who were in Haiti, who would have been subject to the same fate under French enslavement. And so they began to intensify the fight for liberation. And it was that coalition that eventually November 1803, Bataille de Verchères, that culminated into the last battle that involved both the Africans and the the mulattoes to defeat the French once and for all. So the process itself of creating the flag, Catherine Flon, a woman who was Dessalines' goddaughter, was the one who sewed the flag together, and that became the flag for that final phase of the Revolution of Haiti. So Haitians all over the world celebrate Haitian Flag Day. During the occupation from 1915 to 1934, it was underground celebration. That's when America, United States, occupied Haiti, invaded, and held us hostage, and, you know, rewrote our constitution, did a number of things. At that time, it was celebrated underground, but today it is the general call. We also declare May as Haitian Heritage Month. That was initiated in Boston with some individuals that you're familiar with, Dr. Daniels, Charlotte Lucien, and some others.
Yes.
They've been holding major parades, 3,000 to 5,000 people in the street. Unfortunately, that could not be done this year. They had a Zoom parade.
Right. Wow. So okay.
It was amazing. It was amazing. I was on it. So it was amazing. People continue to celebrate. Every Haitian has a flag, their sons and daughters, you know, their flags in their back pockets, around their head, as bandanas, and, you know, so that's how we're moving forward. So,
right. And there's a theme on the flag, right? Unité, what is it? Unité, Fête de Force?
The flag itself, the red, the blue on top, red at the bottom, and there is a white patch that has the emblems, and on it there's some arms, some weapons on it, and there's a band at the bottom that says, in unity there's strength, Union fait la force. So that is a motto that that was exercised during the revolution to bring about the independence that was declared in January 1, 1804. And Haitians continue to declare that in unity, their strength. And often, you know, we've been at odds with one another in terms of direction. But yes, that's an emblem that we've embraced and continue to call out to each other.
Well, we're out of time, but I really wanted to get that segment in. There's such rich history in the flag. I think it is one of the most beautiful flags, I think, in the world, just in terms of how it is crafted, its symbols, its meaning. I also think the Haitian anthem is one of the most powerful that you could hear, as well as I have this incredible respect for the prayer of Boukman that was done, you know, at the launching, the great meeting at Wakayana. You know, the last revolution. So thank you so much for giving that information on Haitian Flag Day. I actually learned about what May 18th was all about. I actually had not learned that previously, so I got educated today. So Judge Lionel Jean-Baptiste, thank you so much for providing
that
segment for us today on Vantage Point.
Thank you, Dr. Daniels. And, you know, we're available anytime to engage in a discussion of Haitian history, the Haitian Revolution, and the implication in for our resurrection as Africans in the world.
Right.
And the need for us to continue to stay focused and go forward. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Okay, brothers and sisters and friends, those are our two interviews we want to do for today. Now we have to turn for the next 13 minutes to raising some resources for WBAI. One of the reasons why I do a radio show here is not that I just want to be on the radio. It's because I believe in what it is we do on WBAI. And I'm delighted to be able to bring to the audience the kind of interviews that I just brought, but also the kind of initiatives. I mean, think about, you know, the information about the destruction of Black Wall Street, the massacre that took place, and the information just shared with you by Dr. Tiffany Crutcher, if you will. And so that's why, you know, we need support. We need your support. Today, as I started the drive with a donation of $200, and I've been apportioning it every week to ask people to just match it. We do the best we can. So I have another $50 a day because I have a $50 premium, and that book is about Haiti. It is entitled "We Dare to Be Free: Haiti's Struggle Against Occupation," put together by a really, really brilliant woman, Dadi Cheri, who was born and raised in Haiti and before the 2010 earthquake, and just really decided to begin to use her craft to dig into the Haiti's past, to look at the history of occupation, but most recently the events since the deposing of President Jean-Bertrand Aristide in 2004, ironically on the year of the 200th anniversary of the Haitian Revolution. Again, We Dare to Be Free is a five-year literary journey through the destruction, pain, and occupation, corruption, and death, from which Dadi Cheri brings her compatriots and all people who are oppressed the tools to overcome adversity in the sense that adversity can and must be overcome. It is a book that you should have in your toolkit of knowledge about Haiti. I have a deep and abiding love for Haiti and the Haitian people. But beyond just that love, I have said over and over again, you know, black people everywhere, we of African descent, and indeed all freedom-loving people owe an enormous debt to Haiti for shattering the myth of white supremacy at the height of the propagation of the myth of white supremacy and the transatlantic or the European enslavement. I mean, you know, I could go on and on about that because that's why we established the Haiti Support Project. That's why we've been doing this work in Haiti since 1995, because, you know, to me, nowhere in the African world will be free until Haiti is free, period. I continue to believe that. And Haiti, you know, has its internal contradictions. It's going through a lot of pain right now. And that pain, again, is induced by internal contradictions, yes, but it's also a legacy of the brutal way in which Haiti was marginalized and stigmatized, and we should never forget that. So the book is one that you should have in your repertoire of your toolkit. But even if not, it is important that you get it simply because you want to support WBAI. So let's just have those phones like ring, ring, ring right off the hooks right now at 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. Thanks. Thank you. 516-620-3602. I just have really about 10 minutes left, and I really, really, really want us today to get 20 people who will purchase the premium at $50 or match my contribution of $50, right? Match the contribution. But you'll also get a premium. The premium is really you. The station is really the premium, right? And I've said that over and over again. I'm not particularly skilled at knowing how to make these pitches, but I just come from the heart in terms of what I believe and what I know to be the case. And that is, you know, I would make the contribution and make contributions whether I get premiums or not. That's a bonus. That's a thank you. But the real deal is, particularly in these hard times, we need WBAI. We need the debate, the dialogue. This is just an aside. We had a Pan-African Unity Dialogue meeting on Saturday, and just about the census and how we're missing. I had somebody on about the census, but I got to tell you, I'm going to be talking to the general manager and the program director. We got to do more about this census stuff. I mean, it is killing us. The lack of knowledge, the lack of participation. We are getting killed figuratively, but almost literally. We are dying because we are not dealing with this census. And that's the kind of stuff that WBAI could do. I mean, we can get out here. We can campaign, you know, to make people more aware that this is something we have to do in order to getting the public dollars, our tax dollars, returned to us in greater proportion to our need. That's just a quick aside. 516-620-3602. Thank you. 516-620-3602. Folks, let the phones ring. Let freedom ring. Let Let the Pledge Drive audience, those of you who can afford it, let it ring out with your contributions coming in. 516-620-3602. And again, you know, for another $35, or if you can't afford the $50, get a mask. Get one for yourself. Proudly walk down the street, social distancing, and with the discipline of not spreading the virus to someone else if you may be asymptomatic. And that's what we're learning, is you may have it, and you may not even know you had it, but you can spread it. So that mask protects others from, if you cough, if you even speak. This thing is so insidious, so dangerous, so infectious. The mask protects others, your mothers, your fathers, your friends, the person, the people. We're all connected and together as human beings. So we don't want to accidentally give it to somebody because we want to walk down the street because we don't want to wear a mask. It's not about you. It's really about others. And you can do it with WBAI written across that mask, advertising what you're about, who you're about, and what we support. So that's $35. You can go to givetowbai.org. Give right now, givetowbai.org, and you can purchase. You can see the mask, and you can also purchase one. Or you can call the same number and tell them, I want to sign up to get a mask. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Actually, the book and the mask is $85. You could do either one or both. Some people can afford to do both. And in fact, some people could call in and say, look, I want to get, let me get two masks, three masks, four masks, because I also want to share it with my family and my friends. Let's go out there and let everybody know about WBAI, right? And by the way, you can also become a WBAI buddy. I've been trying to get five every week. I don't know, you know, it's hard. It's a lot to ask, but it's not too much to ask, really, when you think of the enormity of the crisis that we face and the enormity of the challenges that we face, but the enormity of the opportunity that we also have. Because if we decide to march, if we decide to organize, if we decide to picket, if we decide to virtually, and you don't have to do it, I mean, I was on the front with my board chair from Pittsburgh yesterday, and they were out in the community in a motorcade. You know what I mean? You can protest different ways now. They had a motorcade going throughout the community, informing people. You know, it may have been about the census. I don't know what the particular issue was, but they were out doing a motorcade through the community. And you can do a social distanced protest as well. So we can get active. We can get moving in very, very powerful ways. So again, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602 to support WBAI. To hear the kind of information that you got today about the Tulsa massacre and the destruction of Black Wall Street and what is coming up. It's not just a memorial. It's not just about looking at the past. It is about the ongoing struggle for justice and reparations. And the season is ripening because now the COVID-19 pandemic is now unearthing in a raw, naked fashion, never before, these inequities, the inequalities, the disparities. And we're not just going to sit back and take it. We're going to organize. What did Frederick Douglass say? The limits of tyrants are prescribed by those whom they oppress. And they will continue. And they will continue until they are resisted with words or blows or both. In other words, what he's saying is, as long as you're willing to take it or just simply sell wolf tickets about how terrible it is and conspiracy theories and they're doing this and they're doing that. Well, we know all of that. Right. Question, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? We must stop the tyranny, and we stop the tyranny by acting, by engaging. And if you can't do anything else, send a donation to WBAI, because there are those who can afford to do so. I was noticing the casinos were opening up, and I am not. People do what they want to do. And the casinos and these different places opened up. The lines were around. And by the way, that's because there are people who, these are largely senior citizens who have their Social Security, who have their retirement, and they go, and that's their form of release. And I'm not hating on them for doing that. But the point is, they have the income, but they're also very vulnerable, by the way. And that's, you know, that's scary. They don't practice no social distancing. They'll be getting out of here. But there are people in our audience, hundreds, thousands, who can't afford it, who do have some income and can, in fact, be able to contribute. And we're just looking for 20. Thank you so much. 516-620-3602. Just call us right now. Call us right now. Call us right now at 516-620-3602. Again, the premium is We Dare to Be Free, Haiti's Struggle Against Occupation. It is Haitian Flag Day. We just had Judge Lionel Jean-Baptiste on to talk about that. We also talked about the destruction of Black Wall Street and the Tulsa Massacre. Just sharing that information, feeding you that information, right? But it's not just about feeding information. It's not just about soaking up the information. It's about using that information as a way to organize, to mobilize. First, to educate, mobilize, and organize for a better life for ourselves and for all humankind. And we can do that. That's what we advocate here at WBAI. I just got a couple of minutes left. Please go to your phones, brothers and sisters. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Thank you so much. And those of you who know, you know, we've been out here working for years and years and years. I got a network of friends out there, right? You know, match that $50 donation. There's still, I hope we got supporters out there. Match that $50 donation that the professor put up. You know, I'll do another 50 next week. I put $200 on the line at the beginning because I didn't want to go ask you to go when I'm not where I'm not prepared to go. I will always try to lead to the degree that, I have the ability to do so. So it's the $50 match, whether you got the book or not, but you do get the book, an incredibly powerful and important book. And then if you got another 35, get that mask. If you can only afford the mask, get the mask, right? And that's fine. Do what you can do. Do what you can do. And some people can do the combination. That's $85, just $85 for those who can afford it. And I use those words deliberately for those who can't, those who are out there suffering, those who are unemployed, those who are out there. We just hope that, in fact, I want to do a show in which we don't even talk about issues. I've been trying to figure out some shows where we can just do some different kind of, just to lighten it up a little bit. You know what I mean? Because it's tough hearing this trauma every day. So I'm thinking about how to do something a little bit lighter, you know, moving down in the next 30 days. But that's not the point. Today, we don't need to lighten up. We need to dig in heavily and call the number 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602 to vote in support of WBAI. And if you do it by way of Vantage Point, I'm profoundly thankful, but it's not even about Vantage Point. It's about WBAI, what it stands for, the incredible programming, the incredible commitment to fight for the people and to fight for righteous and just causes. That's what this is really all about. You don't get it anywhere else in the depth and the comprehensiveness that you get on WBAI. That music in the background means it's time for me to get out of here. Hope that you continue to call 516-620-3602. Match my $50. Get that premium. Get that premium. We Dare to Be Free, Haiti's Struggle Against Occupation. It's Haitian Flag Day, if you will. And also get one of those masks. Get one of those masks. Get a couple of those masks. Give them to your friends, your neighbors. You know, wear them proudly in the street and become a WBAI buddy as well. This is the Professor Dr. Ron Daniels. We appreciate you tuning in to Vantage Point, 99.5 FM on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with YCRadio.org. Keep the phones ringing at 516-620-3602. We'll see you again next week here on Vantage Point.